When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy!
I'm excited to say we have in studio. We're not in the studio. We're in parts unknown. That's always when you knew a wrestler was going to win. When it's like, when one guy would be like, they'd be like, from Queens, New York, it's, we're from Queens, it's this one guy, right? And he just comes out and looks like a guy who would work at like a Jiffy Lube. And then the lights would dim, and then music would play, and then the other guys from Parts Unknown. Did the Parts Unknown guy ever lose to a guy from, like, Brooklyn?
I don't know. I think the Brooklyn Brawler had a little bit of a run, right? But I don't know if he ever faced anyone. Like, I don't think he ever lost the Ultimate Warrior, that's for sure.
Well, you tell me. Come on in here, yeah. Damien.
Thank you, Tom. This is awesome.
It's Damien from Effed Up. And yeah.
So is this good here? Is this going to cover both of us?
I think it'll be good. And then we'll put it through that program, and it'll bring up my volume, and it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
That sounds good.
Tom, thank you so much. This is like, I always wanted to be face-to-face with you on the show. Never thought it would be in Zach's living room.
Yes, and thank you, Zach, for letting us do this.
No problem. Zach is the one who, Zach and I discovered the best show. Well, I think I discovered it first and brought it to you, but Zach and I were like, the ones that were peeling it apart together, Zach. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
How long ago was that?
Gosh, when was that? 2002?
Yeah.
2001? Two?
Yeah. Wow, that's
Kent,
early.
Kent Stevenson, who got it from Colin Geddes.
Mm-hmm.
So here's like, it's like the germs burn. Here's how it was passed down. Here's the lineage of us.
Down the line.
Yeah, down the line.
All through Toronto record stores and video stores.
Yeah, exactly.
The show passed.
Well, I think it was just like, we've talked about this a lot of places now, Noisy and of course in the essay I wrote, but I think it was just like, you know, people in bands calling books Tiff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's involved doing the Midnight Madness for years now. So it was just kind of like, you know, people people in bands, people in video stores, people in record stores, like you said.
Yeah.
Sharing it.
That's awesome. And you, sir.
I've got my sublimator here. What, fired up.
What, tell me more about what that. I thought for a minute.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to make us some really good coffee at first. I was like, wow, a little late for coffee. But I guess Damien loves his fancy coffee.
It's my coffee.
So
it's my coffee.
You are setting up this thing that has it has a main chamber to it.
Yes.
And a side little thing there that looks like a you draw your little thing in the foam on the top of it with it maybe or something.
Yeah, like it looks like a heating iron into a funnel that goes into a down chamber, which goes into a larger plastic chamber, which has a piece of PVC hosing coming off. That's surgical tubing, I should say. And it's got a coaxial cable too, so it's kind of like a rock instrument. But it's for ingestion of medical cannabis. I've got a medical card here in Canada, and so I'm getting this stuff through the government and. You know, it's legit.
Yeah. Well, that thing is, that thing's legit.
This is called the sublimator. Yeah. It was invented by some guy in Quebec named Enrico. And he is like, he was a chef, and he just stumbled on this new way. And it's kind of like, you know, they say it's beyond vaporization, but it's like the best tasting way I've found to consume cannabis. It tastes mm-hmm. like it smells.
Okay.
And so, it's stronger than a normal vaporizer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not enough to just vaporize it. You need to sublimate it.
Yeah, because I like if you smoke or ingest a lot of cannabis,
mm-hmm.
vaporizing just doesn't normally cut it, I find.
Okay.
And with a lot of people. And so, you know, I want something that's kind of like, you know, a bit of a heavier kind of like ingestion way. I don't want to sit there having to suck on a vaporizer for long periods of time. So this mm-hmm. is like a, you know, yeah, like Zach was like kind of warning you off this, you know, in any way of going near it because he said it was would knock you out. And mm-hmm. I think, yeah, for me, for some people it would knock them out. For me, it's perfect, but...
The sublimator.
Future sponsor of the Best Show.
Oh, maybe. Jeepers. Let's see if Enrico can drum up the money. Oh, right.
That's the thing. I think that is my goal, is to one day get, you know, just cannabis sponsors for mm-hmm. the things that I do. So
sure.
You know, it's like if you can find the things that you love, like Squarespace, mm-hmm. is what I use too.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never sponsored the show, but that's what I use. You know, because obviously the Best Show thing.
Yeah.
So
when you say your show,
my radio show.
Yes.
I don't want to talk too much. I don't want to put it over.
No, talk about it. You're here to talk.
Okay. Well, it's called Turned Out a Punk. You were on it. It mm-hmm. was. It's been a lot of fun. I've had a really awesome kind of year doing it so far, and I think having you on was one of the highlights, and I think it was, you know, indicative of how cool punk is, you mm-hmm. know, and how many people's lives it touches.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the fact that, you know, you were the one that kind of brought all the comedy stuff in, which is something that I found, you know, fascinating to find mm-hmm. to see where, you know, it connects to comedy, you know.
Well, the stuff runs parallel so much mm-hmm. where it just, like, it's people making the thing. It's like people find their way to express themselves, and they express themselves.
Have you seen that video that I think Henry Owings posted it from Chunklet a while ago? But it's like RuPaul. I forget what's RuPaul's non-performing name. Like, but
yeah, I'm blanking.
Yeah,
sure.
Anyway, but it's you know him as a kid in like you know not performing in mm-hmm. drag. Like in a new wave band
mm-hmm.
and you know, they're interviewing this new wave band as mm-hmm. their second show. And at one point they turn to the guitarist and they're interviewing the guitarist. They're like, are you nervous? And he's like, yeah, a little bit. And he pulls out a cigarette and like someone reaches in to light it. And it's mm-hmm. David Cross. And so it means that David Cross yeah. and RuPaul were hanging out at shows in like 82 in
wow.
Atlanta, or I think it's Athens.
Sure. Right? Sure. Yeah. But it's like, I think that's just a point of you're looking like, especially now everybody can find their own scene,
mm-hmm.
and you can find your own little camp of people that mm-hmm. that are just like you. And there's a lot of great stuff that comes from that. But there's mm-hmm. also there is that something gets lost though when everybody finds their circle and doesn't go beyond their circle.
Yeah,
because then in the 80s you have everybody who's just not everybody who's a weirdo is just. The weirdos are just going to one side of the street, and they might not even have that much in common outside of the fact that they're just not these straight people who are like, and then you get a lot of kind of cross pollination going on because people who aren't necessarily the same in terms of the subset of mm-hmm. what they're doing, but they're the same in terms of the fact that they're not just like, they're not just like cranking, you know, Billy Joel records.
Well, I think, I don't know, like you on the episode, and it's definitely one of the best parts of the Best Show is when you kind of bring it up and it comes up, is where you kind of talk about how, well, not best parts mm-hmm. of the show, but one of my personal favorite parts sure. is when you bring up the fact that you were kind of tormented for wearing, you know, shirts at these punk shows
uh-huh.
that the punks didn't think were cool enough.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that would really happen today, because I think the new kind of millennials, like the mm-hmm. generation that comes up below the generation of me
yeah.
in punk rock, I think is really open-minded to so many different types of music. It's like, you know, like my friend Sam, who like used to play drums in Trash Talk, play like sings in this like a bunch of different like sings in a hardcore band called Locke, plays in this Japanese style blazing metal band, but then also mm-hmm. DJs like house music.
Sure.
And like, you know, you can do that all at once, whereas like it used to be, or I found it was definitely a thing where you would have to be like, okay, I'm leaving punk rock to go and become a techno DJ or whatever.
Yeah, that may, I agree with that too, where it just, it used to be also, I know that, that I was just saying that like weirdos find weirdos, and I do still, I think that's true.
Yeah.
But people were also very territorial about, like, you couldn't, I remember reading like Cream magazines, and it would be like fans of The Clash mm-hmm. arguing with fans of Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. Like, but now that's just all like smeared to where it's just rock music.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I like rock music. Like, what do you like? Well, I like The Clash. I like Led Zeppelin. I like all these. Like, those were definitely, you couldn't, or at least as far as some people were concerned. I think kids, like, when I was a kid, I had Clash records and Led Zeppelin records, and I was surprised to see people drawing these lines between it. It's like, no, I'm just listening to rock records.
Yeah, like, I definitely think, like, because I've always thought of The Clash as a rock band.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can see someone who listened to the Sex Pistols being, like, arguing, like, this is different, because I think that was, like, a break,
mm-hmm.
you know, in kind of the continuum, whereas I think The Clash is, like, a rock band, and yeah, definitely, you know, like, it was stylistically different, and mm-hmm. I think the clothing they was wearing were different, but it was, mm-hmm. you can hear, like, it's rooted in rock and roll.
Yeah, but you can also even see that, like, that like 50s feel that mm-hmm. like the Sex Pistols mm-hmm. have in their own strange way. It's funny that it's like when people tell the stories, they seem to draw the lines harder between like when things started or whatever. But then when you hear people, when you read people talking about being a kid in like England in 1972 or 1973, and they were finding things they were interested in. And it's like, and things like Roxy Music had weirdness that helped get them to the next
yeah.
place.
Absolutely.
It's not like it was just the feast or famine that it gets presented as sometimes.
No. Like, yeah, like you hear Dr. Feelgood's first record,
yeah.
and like they're like, okay, that's the Steve Jones guitar kind of like
exactly
not the exact
yeah.
same, but like you know,
it's exactly. But you yeah. see how that's going to get to the next place with that. But the way some people tell the story is that it's like it was just Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and then punk came. And it erased that stuff, which also isn't true at all, because
no.
it's like that stuff was, I would bet that Yes made more money in 1977 and 1978 and 1979 than at any other point in their career.
Oh yeah, like it's like not like Nirvana in 90, you know, 2 or 91, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like Garth Brooks probably sold more records that year. Like there's like,
yeah,
you know, Nevermind was watershed, but
yeah, but it's not. It's like, the story gets like, they were scared of us. It's like, I don't even know how scared the people, because they were only like 10 years older,
yeah.
a lot of these.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
like, if you're talking about just like, the guys in Pink Floyd were somehow terrified by this punk thing, it's like they were 10 years old. So they were in there,
yeah.
they were like 33 when this stuff was happening. It's like, it's not like they didn't, it's not like they were 68 years
yeah.
old and had no idea what this new sound was. It's like they were still young guys themselves. And 10 years earlier, they were the people who were scaring people.
Yeah.
I think people, that is like one of the things that punk does a lot is say that just like, we scared everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if everybody was as scared as you're saying it was.
I didn't think it got scary until it got to America again. You know, like, obviously it starts in America, and it's kind of like, it's not, you know, like, if you look at the New York first wave of stuff, obviously the Dead Boys are visually kind of where it would go. And I think the Steel Tips were probably terrifying to see. Joe Coleman's band, the artist who used to like blow himself up. And
sure.
But like, the rest of the band, it's like Talking Heads, Blondie. Mm-hmm. It's not really a terrifying vibe. But when it comes back to America and becomes like hardcore in the West Coast and you have all these Orange County bands, yeah. I think it was scary for people because that's when the cops were trying to, like, mm-hmm. The riots with, like, 800 kids.
Yeah, well, that's actually when the kids, when suddenly it's not just some thing in a club where it's, it's easy to not get freaked out about 60 people going to see a thing.
Yeah.
But it's easy to get, when all of a sudden there's 1,100 kids going to, like, you're putting on a show at a big venue and it's selling out right away, and then there's all these kids who look different.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's like, okay, well, something's going on here. And that is that Orange County thing. It's amazing to think that, like, California used to be, like, the reddest of red states. And that, like, because now it would, now nobody thinks, it's not even close. Like,
yeah.
When there was, like, during elections, it's just like, oh, well, California's going to go to, the Democrats. Yeah. But back then it was like, that Orange County Republicans were just the...
And I guess that's the product of it were their kids, mm-hmm. like Fat Mike, not to like put over the podcast again or anything, but when he was on the podcast was mm-hmm. talking about growing up and Jack Grisham from TSOL and like how scary he was and how, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh yeah, well he was a product of this like probably really weird, fucked up suburban,
That's all right. Sorry. Let it go. It's your band.
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. My band effed up.
That's the thing about the show now. Look, this is where I'm at with the show now. If people curse, I'm okay with it. I am not cursing on the show. I don't want people to go curse as much as they can.
So I can't use my blue material.
So keep that for your show.
Okay.
but if people slip up, I'm not on the radio anymore. Because I've had people go like, somebody cursed and you didn't yell at him. Like, he yelled at the. It's like, yeah, I was on the radio then. What was I supposed to do? I was responsible for the FCC license. Yeah.
One time, when I was on Terry's show, I was talking about pissed jeans, and she had to beat me because you can't say pissed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Because it's really dumb that the line would sometimes come down to like...
figurative or something?
Yes, exactly. To whether you can lose a certain thing, it's fine, and you can say that. But you can't do that thing in your pants, for example. That would be
So you won't even say piss jeans? You'll say
I'll say piss jeans.
Yeah, that's what I figure.
I don't care.
That's a great band too.
What am I gonna
be? Actually, wrestlers in that band too. Pro wrestlers.
Pro wrestlers.
In piss jeans.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Chikara.
Okay.
I think early days of Chikara, Brad worked a couple. Maybe I shouldn't give away the fact that he was working there. Now I've exposed his maybe secret identity or something.
What's that called in wrestling talk when you blow the lid off somebody?
Kayfabe, breaking kayfabe.
Yeah, kayfabe.
Yep.
What's that mean?
Kayfabe is like, I guess it's like old carny speak or maybe carny wrestler speak.
Okay.
For the world that they have, like, so obviously wrestling exists on two worlds. There's a world that is presented to the public, and then there's the world that they have with each other, and that's the fact that it's like predetermined matches.
Okay.
And the fact that there's some sort of collaboration between the people to get the physicality to look as real as possible.
Sure. Sure.
I feel like I'm getting a chance to finally talk about wrestling.
You're doing it.
No, really, I'm doing it on the best show.
Now, what do you...
for Chris Gethard. Yeah,
you're doing it for all your guys, all beaten down by the big bully who does nothing but tease wrestling fans.
Exactly.
This is honestly what I think about wrestling. To me, it's like baseball in the fact that I like every part of it except for the wrestling part.
Yes.
I like watching wrestling interviews. I could watch all day long.
Yes.
I love any of that stuff. I think is the most, that to me is the entertaining part of wrestling. And then when I watch wrestling, it's just like, I feel and I hate when people say this about basketball because that's the thing I love when they're just like, just watch the last 5 minutes of a basketball game. That's all you got to see. And I'm like, well, that's not true. That's such an insult. But then, like, with wrestling, sometimes I'm like, yeah, maybe you just watch the last 5 minutes of this thing, of this match, and then because that's when it's going to stop with the 1-2 break. 1-2 break, right?
Yeah.
But that's a part of the rhythm. I know that's the part of the thing, but I'm just, I like the characters, and I like the stories of it.
The world behind the scenes stuff is crazy.
But even behind the scenes, or the things they're doing on even playing the characters when they're talking, what do you call those segments when they're just talking backstage or whatever?
Promos?
Yeah, the promos I like. I just, the actual matches are, to me, the least interesting part of it.
I definitely think when you're right for some of that stuff, and it's certainly a lot of the TV product that you see in North America can be really boring sometimes. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff that's going on in NXT right now is amazing. But also, you got to see this guy Nakamura from Japan.
Okay.
Because his biggest influences are Prince and Michael Jackson. And the way he performs in the ring, it is like Iggy in
really?
Like, yeah, it's like Iggy in like 69 or something. It is an incredible thing to behold.
I will watch Nakamura tonight. Is he like changing the game?
Yeah,
like that kind of thing?
He's really like one of those people that is just, he's kind of like in Japan right now, the number two Japanese wrestler.
Okay.
But like in North America, for fans of Japanese wrestling, I think he's probably number one. And in Japan, he's kind of like, you know, it's like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones as far as like the cooler.
Okay.
Of, you know, he's like the number two, but it's like the cooler of the number two.
Sure, he's like the bad boy.
Yeah, Tanahashi's the kind of the number one. But he's just, he's just unbelievable to see. He's really a sight. Like the way he moves in the ring, you can watch him from beginning to end because just like the way he kind of pulls you in as a viewer is just incredible.
Okay, I'm going to watch. You're hooking
me
now.
And I will now watch a playoff basketball game in response.
No, you won't.
I will. I one time went to a basketball game and chased John Cusack out at the Sky Dome, and that's like the last time I think I went to a basketball game.
So you saw a Raptors game?
Yep. My friend had season tickets really close, like just off the floors.
Sure.
He probably still does. I haven't spoke that guy in years. I should hit him up. And John Cusack was sitting on the floor, but we could yell and he could hear us. And he and I were going to the bathroom at the same time at one point. And so I like turned to him as we're walking up the ramp to this is when they were playing the Sky Dome before they moved to the ACC.
Sure.
And so we're walking up the ramp and I go, hey, I saw the movie Gross Point Blank. It's pretty awesome. He's like, oh, thank you. And then as we're going to the bathroom, he cuts in front of me and gets in line for McDonald's. And then I go to the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, okay. And so I go to the bathroom, and I come out, and he's no longer in line for McDonald's. And then so I sit down again, and I see he's coming from the other side, which means he went to somewhere else to pee, pretending to get in line for McDonald's, and went somewhere else. And so I'm like a dumb kid. Mm-hmm. So that, for me, was like, it's on. And so we
so it's you. You just now doubled down on what you were yelling at John Cusack.
Yeah, it's like just being jerks, you know.
So would that be up there with your celebrity encounters? Is that?
That's probably my dumbest.
That's a rough one because
that's a rough one.
You watched him actually, because you know this Patti Smith one that happened to me, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's like my favorite. Well, I think everyone who listens to the show, because we've all been there and we've all had that moment. I think, I don't know. That one. It's hard. Because that one is you know, so good. And I've had some that are just like, just people being really mean to me.
Mm-hmm.
But you just like hit the things you said.
But I did it in the space of like a poem. Like it's a short, like a Zen cone thing that's only three lines. I managed to say to her in one sentence enough to like existentially blow the whole thing up. Oh, but John, I'm gonna say
that was pretty
John Cusack
saying to himself, this kid's freaking me out a little bit.
You left.
I'm going to pretend I'm going to buy McDonald's. Like, what's he eating at McDonald's, this guy? This guy's actor. Like, he's just like, yeah, I'll get a, I'm going to get a, two Big Macs and a... large fries, and I'll get a shake too. Like he's eating like 5,500 calories. He's like a movie star. He can't eat like that. And then he's like, and he sees you go into the bathroom. He's like, oh, that kid's gone. Okay, there's got to be another men's room around here somewhere. Yeah, it's at the other side of the arena, sir. If that's where it's at, then that's where I'm going. And then you see him coming down. I feel comforted by that. But you were a kid then. You were not me now, an adult, doing it. Have you had one any time as an adult? Have you had a bad one?
Yeah, but the only people I freak out for are wrestlers. Obviously now meeting a musician. You know, I haven't met Patti Smith, so to be fair, like maybe she would be someone like with a real presence, but like I just kind of feel, you know, this is going to sound really egotistical, but like I feel like we're all part of that fraternity of, you know, performing artists, which you are now too.
Yeah. But it's
gigging music. You're a gigging artist.
There's that thing where you know that at some point, no matter how big they are, they have to walk out of the place they just played and get into something with wheels on it that takes them to the next place where they're going to play. And maybe they're on a bigger thing with wheels, or they're going to a bigger place to play, but they're still moving from city to city to do their thing. So it is this thing that you're a part of, that you guys have definitely, that your band effed up has definitely, like, I mean, because how long have you guys been like a hard touring band, like where the schedules were just like, we're handing our life over to this?
I'd say it's been 7 years now, 8 years.
Of just like, we're working this.
Yeah, we're working this.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, we're taking some time now because I've got another kid on the way. And it's going to be, you know, the first time we're going to take a break where we're going to be like, let's take a break from this, because it's been like, touring.
It's been like 7 or 8 years pretty much where you guys would just would just work the globe.
Yeah, I guess.
For stuff.
Well, that's the way it works now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have... You can be... There's a classy musician, which didn't really exist, but because of the internet now exists, where you can play to your little pocket all over the world.
Yeah. It's called lower middle class, is what we
exactly.
call it.
Exactly.
It's called... You are now a member of the lower middle class.
Working person's rock.
You're just... You are a part... Yeah. Except, unlike somebody working like a job like that, you don't get like a scheduled mechanical pay raise every year. You might get lower next year.
Yeah.
Like, that's the hard part of it, is it just like, oh, by the way, you're not popular like you were last year, so you're going to just get less money this year. Yeah. I sure hope you didn't get used to that money that you got last year, because you're going to get less of it this year. But you don't have that control over that.
No, I don't. And it's really, believe me, it sounds like you were reading my fortune there. my past, I should say.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
But you work at a lot of different things too.
Yeah.
You're not just, you don't just have your whole thing is not built around being in the band. You have other interests and other things you kind of
or pursuing?
Yeah, I've lucked out and just found, like, I was a VJ for a minute on
Much Music, which is the Canadian equivalent of MTV.
Yeah, and it's now just called Much.
Okay.
And they don't play Much Music anymore.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And
you were a VJ for what type of show?
I was at a show called The Wedge, and it was the show that I kind of grew up on. Like, it was the show that would have played, probably the first time I would have seen Superchunk on there. Definitely the first time I saw bands like DBS, who are a punk band that got me into punk. Like, like all these bands were on there, and it was like this, kind of like, I guess, what was the show that Kennedy hosted, 120 Minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like, you know, Sookie and Lee was one host, and she was this awesome VJ that was in this band called Bob's Your Uncle before she became a VJ and performed with noise artists and, you know, would, like, you know, play weird stuff and interesting kind of music. And then before that, it was Simon Evans. And who was the first one, Zach? Simon Evans and KCC?
Kim Clark Champus,
maybe? Yeah, was it? Anyway, they had, like, a couple VJs. There's probably, you know, I know there's a lot of Canadian Best Show fans that are just, like, screaming at their iPods right now.
Come on, how can you not remember this? You hosted it!
And then it went away, and they revived it for me, and then I guess I killed it again.
So you brought a... You brought its permanent death.
Yeah, I brought its permanent death. And it was, you know, like they would, you know, put us on at 6:30 in the morning or 2:30, and there'd be like no rhyme or reason to it. Like, hey, we got a new time slot for you. And it's like, you can't put me in a regular time slot at all. But it was fun. It was like, I got to work with some really cool people on it. And you know, I got Chris Jericho, the wrestler, on it. I got to,
Fozzy, his band Fozzy.
Yeah, Fozzy. We didn't play Fozzy on that episode, to be honest. We let him pick the whole episode, and I got probably my, musically, not my favorite episode of the show, that's for sure.
Or not your most representative episode.
No, but I did bring Edge. I don't know if you remember Edge, the Canadian wrestler who teamed with Christian.
Okay.
He was the Rated R Superstar. But when he was on the show... I knew he went to high school in Orangeville.
Okay.
And I knew he went to high school with his band Five Knuckle Chuckle. So when he was on, when he comes, who were like this awesome Zach, you remember Five Knuckle, obviously. They were a huge part of our music lives growing up. Yeah, adolescence. Like, probably never played to a show to more than 150, 250 people. But they were incredible. And so I asked, so I'm like, at the beginning of the show, I'm like, I've got a music video, because I let him pick the whole show, and it was cool. He picked, like, Nirvana and Pearl Jam and stuff like that.
Sure.
You know, like, that kind of music. But then he's like, I've got a video for you in the middle of the show. And so in the middle of the show, I'm like, I've got a band from your high school. He's like, I have no idea what band you're going to play. I'm like, a little band called Five Knuckle Chuckle. And he, like, goes, oh, my God. He goes, are you kidding me? That's my favorite band. Like, that was the band like that got me the first time I ever heard Nirvana was because the drummer went to Music World and shoplifted the CD for me. And I'm like, well, I'm so, statute of limitations on that.
Out on that. So the drummer from Five Knuckle Chuckle boosted a copy of Nevermind for Chris Jericho? Edge.
Yeah, not The Edge. For Edge. When I tell people that he was on the show, they are like, whoa! It's also when I tell people that I like, I'm like, yeah, I was on a Conan's podcast. People are like, Conan O'Brien? I'm like, no, Conan, the wrestler from WCW, of course.
You're just like, wait, why do you not know about my alternate universe? Where names, where the same name means something completely different for me. Yeah, when I say Edge, I don't mean the dude with the beanie and all the pedals.
I mean the guy with long flowing blonde hair from Orangeville, Ontario. Yeah, that was a pro wrestler.
So
Adam Copeland. He's now an actor in that Haven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Haven. What is Haven?
It's like a sci-fi show in America.
Sci-fi original series.
It's written by Stephen King, I think.
Okay.
It was based on a Stephen King book.
Now, did you like being on camera? Do you like that? Did you feel you got hooked on that?
I got hooked on it. Like, I've been doing since then, after they canceled that, or even kind of while they were still doing it, I did this food show called Super Snack Brothers. That was fun. And then I did a bunch of, and I'm still doing a bunch of cannabis documentaries, medical cannabis documentaries called Canadian Cannabis for Vice.
Sure. And that was, you're going all over the place.
Yeah, it's been like, well, Colorado, obviously Vancouver for us is kind of the Colorado. And it's been really interesting. Like for me, I'm now a medical cannabis user, but I did not grow up smoking cannabis. I smoked it a little bit when I was 14.
Yeah, because this is like a five-year thing for you, pretty much.
It was, I think, 5 years ago this summer.
Yeah.
You knew me in the before time.
I knew you in the before time, and then we were at the Matador 21 thing in Las Vegas.
What a wild weekend.
And then suddenly you're like, Sandy, come back here, like. I mean, I'm not throwing her under the bus, No, sorry.
No, don't worry. No, she did. She did an interview in High Times. I think that's when you come out.
Yes, you're out. That's when you come out. Yes, I remember you just screaming after her in a casino, and you're just like, "Ooh, he needs something."
Yes.
Yeah.
I needed money for cannabis.
That was a very upsetting weekend. It was so much fun, but you realize at a point. You're not supposed to stay in a casino for 4 days straight. At some point, you're supposed to leave the casino and see what's going on outside the casino. Yeah, that was that's one that you come out of saying like, okay, I feel the difference with some limitations and some boundaries here from how I should. Put the boxes I can put myself in. And a casino is a box that you're not supposed to put yourself in for 4 days straight.
Well, I'm going to say, if you put the staff of Matador in a casino for 4 days straight, it's a dark party. It's going to go to some weird, sinister places.
Yeah. But it's not like everybody's going to shows from early in the morning until super late at night also in the casino where they're not sleeping properly either, and they're running themselves down in every possible way. Yeah, it was. I've talked to a lot of people from that thing, and everybody was like, "That was the most fun. I hope that never happens again." And I'm like, "I think that's exactly where I stand on it. Is what a great time that they should never try to repeat."
What was the thing with Bell and Sebastian? Was that the one you guys hosted? Bell and Sebastian Day? No.
John and I hosted the final night, and I had no voice because I screamed
a version of
Precision Auto with effed up.
We should got to put that out. We got to find that and put that out.
That would be awesome. I don't know where that is.
And then you suplexed me.
Well, no, you lifted me.
Yes.
Just like nobody's business, and you threw me over your shoulder, and a fireman... Is that what that is? Is that a fireman?
I guess it's like a fireman carrier. I think I put you actually in a torture rack.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
And then I'm like, well, I'm going to show that two can play at that game. And I lifted you about 2 inches off the ground. And then we both fell backwards into a drum set, which was, and this is now just a couple hours into it. Like, it's like, that was the first night of this thing. And it's like, okay, this is not. I'm pacing myself incorrectly here, so that was fun though.
But the Bell and Sebastian show, they went 60 minutes over, or no, maybe it was 60 minutes over, and it was $10,000 a minute or something for overages. And so
it's not at a casino. They're gonna, I'm sure nobody's gonna get bent out of shape or there's any sort of like under there's any kind of like sneaky dealings going on at a performance at a place in a casino in Vegas. I'm sure it just must have been like that's the kind of thing you get walked out into the desert for.
Yeah.
No, for Belle and Sebastian going over. Now you're, please, sir. No, don't. I'm begging you. They make you dig your own. They hand you a shovel out in the middle of the desert. They played the boy with the Arab strap. I'm sorry, sir. Please don't. it was a Bell and Sebastian. He got killed for what? Yeah, Bell and Sebastian kept playing. and he had to dig his own grave. So you so effed up right now. You did the tour playing the Zodiac stuff, which was great because it was like hearing you guys were actually like spreading out even more.
Even more.
Yeah.
We morphed it with another younger kid band.
Mm-hmm.
The kids in the kids in the band Doom Squad.
Yeah.
Who are awesome.
So there's like nine of you on stage at some points.
Yes.
So you did that. And how deep into the 12 are you now? How many are left to go?
Gosh, I don't know. We've got dog, pig, ox, rat, tiger, hare, dragon, and I just actually did vocals for Snake today.
Okay.
And so
that's nine.
Yeah. So I guess what, three more? And then,
yeah.
And then we're done the cycle?
Then you'll pick some other thing to chase.
We gotta do something else at that point.
When did that, who started that, and were you like, was it just like, yeah, we're actually not going to do all of this? Like, this seems like was it a thing like, no, whatever it takes, we will see all 12 of these through?
It kind of was like an accident. We did like Year of the Dragon, or Year of the Dog was the first one, sorry.
Okay.
And we called it Year of the Dog because we didn't have a name for the song. It was a super long song, and it was the Year of the Dog. So we were just like, Year of the Dog, okay. And then the next year, Mike wrote another super long song, and we wanted to do something around sex workers' rights in Canada. Because it was right around that time that there was this horrible person who was preying on sex workers in Vancouver and all, well, in other parts of, I think, the province as well, and murdering him. And he was a pig farmer, and so not even worth mentioning his name. And he is a horrible dude, and so kind of like using the pig as a metaphor.
Sure.
But then also how people treat sex workers in society is lesser, and then sort of, so Mike wrote this song, and he's like, okay, we'll call it Year of the Pig, and it's like a kind of plays into the theme of the first one.
Yeah.
And then it became something where he's like, well, let's just keep doing one of these long songs every year. I don't know why I'm making that voice.
Yeah. I think that's your voice.
No,
but that was you. That would probably be someone else's impression of you, actually.
That's true.
That voice.
That's my Mike voice.
So your impression of Mike might be Mike's impression of you.
Yeah, probably.
You both. Probably.
I think we both kind of fulfill the same role in each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of actually closer. Since we broke straight edge, we've gotten a lot closer.
Good. That happens.
Yeah.
It's nice when people mend fences or find common ground so that they can coexist and be friends in life.
We bonded over being edge-breaking sellouts.
There you go. But what's sellout? What's the sellout part?
You sell out your edge, Tom.
Oh, you sold, okay.
Yeah.
So you sold your edge.
I sold my edge
mm-hmm.
to the marijuana gods. I sublimated uh-huh. my edge.
Uh-huh. So this wrestler, Aiden English.
Yes.
Who, he just won a few weeks ago the match in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Right? That was what that's called. That's WWE
NXT.
NXT.
Yeah. It's their like younger, hipper brand. It's kind of like I don't know. It'd be weird to kind of think of what would be kind of an analogy for it, because rarely do you have a company that starts like a cooler version of itself. It would be almost like if like AAA baseball was suddenly cooler than Major League Baseball or something.
Yeah.
I guess some people think college sports are cooler than the
there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many people.
It's probably like that. So you're seeing a lot of younger talent up and coming. You actually see them bring in some older people once in a while too that people are fans of. But they've actually gone out and cherry-picked some of the best wrestlers from around the world. Like this guy Finn Balor, who is this incredible Irish wrestler who wrestled in Japan, who now wrestles in America, who is phenomenal, like really something that to behold. And then there's like Samoa Joe, who's a Samoan wrestler, who's made a name for himself working in other indie federations, and TNA before that, terribly named wrestling company, TNA.
Yeah, Matt.
So it stands for total nonstop action, which they...
Yeah, but so many things could stand for other things that shouldn't...
It's so stupid. It's
like, well, no, no, I understand it stands for total... It does stand for total nonstop action. It also stands for something dumber than that, and no one's ever going to think, ah, TNA, yeah, total nonstop action. That sounds like a loophole that a club would... call itself to get around like community standards. Like,
yeah,
the name of our club is TNA, Total Nonstop Action. They're like, there's this gentleman's club on the New Jersey, on the Garden State Parkway that you'll pass, and it's called Club 35 because the highway is Route 35 running parallel to the parkway, but they do the... they do the Roman numeral 35, so it's Club XXX. But they're just like, hey, it's Club 35. We got Roman numerals. What do you want us to do? That's what we're doing. But they just love, whoa, I guess coincidentally it has three giant X's next in the thing. I guess that's just how that goes.
I think with TNA, for years they played off like it was like, well, it's just a coincidence, and then they were like, we totally thought we're gonna
erase this. Yeah.
But anyway, so they've signed like kind of like the mm-hmm. you know, a lot of Kenta too. Like they've signed other big names from Japan and brought them in, mm-hmm. and it's really become the hip thing to do. Like that one in Brooklyn.
The Brooklyn one was like packed. Yeah.
Completely sold out. The one
and where
had,
was that? That was like at the
where the
Barclays.
The Barclays Center. Yeah.
Yeah, which is like, that's where like Jay-Z plays.
They did three nights there, completely sold out.
That's like unbelievable.
Yeah, they did I think the Raw, SmackDown, SummerSlam and NXT all mm-hmm. completely sold out there.
And then he like, because he called the show a long time ago.
Yes,
this guy, he's now known as Aiden English. And he called and he was like, "You heard that call?" Yes. And he's like, "I'm not sure what to call myself. I'm a wrestler." And then I said his name should be Dumb Oaf. Yeah. And you make him so dumb that dumb is misspelled with two M's. And then he went in a different direction.
Yeah.
He called him. Now he's part of the Vaudevillains.
Yeah.
Which is the funniest thing I've ever seen or heard. The idea of two guys in 2015 pretending that it's 100 years earlier in their whole approach to everything. Like they have that giant megaphone thing, right? That they, the shouting cone or whatever those are called. What are those?
Barker cones?
Barker cone. And they wear like unitards, right? Like the old fashioned, right?
They have the wax mustache. Yeah. And like, yeah. Well, I think Aiden wears boxer, type of, but like old timey looking things. And like, he definitely like wax mustache and it's a great gimmick.
And then they won.
Yep.
So it's like, some dude who listens to the best show, he's part of a tag team group that is like the, are they the champs now?
Did they win the belts, right? I'm trying to remember myself. So dumb. I'm done with two M's tonight. Well, you know what? It's like the Summer of Champions for best show fans and thoughts because, Aziz Ansari did a stadium show here last night.
Yeah.
And where did I awkwardly... That is my Tom. That is my Patti Smith.
What happened?
In recent years. When I called the best show.
Yeah.
And Aziz was there. And it was like you were like... I think I pledged. It was funding drive.
Okay.
And you shouted me out. And you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, Damian Abraham from Effed Up. Do you know him, Aziz? And he's like, no, I've never met him, but he looks scary. And then... Or something like that. I came up somehow. Uh-huh. And I'm listening live. And so I'm like... What? That liar. Because he did know me. Because mm-hmm. a couple years before in South by Southwest, mm-hmm. When Human Giant had just come out, the three of them were there and they mm-hmm. couldn't get into the Vice party. And like they were like trying to be like, oh, can we get in? And I'm like, I had met them the other day at another South by Southwest. I don't think it was a Vice one, another South by Southwest party. And so I was like, oh, like I'm a big fan of the show, guys. And so I saw them outside. I'm like, oh, I'll get you in. So I, you mm-hmm. know, I talked to the bouncer, got someone over from Vice, got them in, And so they were like, oh, thanks, man, so much. And Aziz, mm-hmm. Aziz gave me a big hug. And yeah. I'm like, you know, I don't expect him to remember me for life. But then so I'm like, oh, well, he's lying. Or not lying, but he's forgotten. So I decided to call. Bear in mind, this is very early into my medical marijuana phase.
Yeah.
So I might have had partaken a little much that night.
You don't exactly have the both hands on this thing.
No, no, not yeah. when I decide to call.
Yeah.
And, you know, anytime you call the best show without a plan,
oh, that's,
you
that's
are
bad.
Risking
yeah.
disaster.
It's scary.
Oh,
I know.
No. Oh, it's really, you, like, you, I don't think you really do know. I with all due respect, Tom, yeah. you do not know what mm-hmm. it's like for us when
sure.
you don't call him.
Oh, that's true. I don't. I'm the only one
yeah.
who
the only one.
Doesn't sweat the thing, but you shouldn't. You should never sweat it.
Well, here's why I should, because I did call without a plan mm-hmm. that night for the first time, the uh-huh. only time, I should say.
And you ate it?
And I call, and I'm like, but my wife and you know, it was like mm-hmm. I was trying to keep it quiet for the whole house. So I was whispering as I was talking, and I'm like, Aziz, you have met me. And he's like, oh, yeah, man? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, remember at South yeah. by Southwest there was that party yeah. that Vice did?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, no, of course I remember meeting yeah. you.
Just now he's like, now he's suddenly saying, I think I'm going to get on. What's the verbal equivalent of me getting online at this McDonald's that I'm not going to order from?
He was like, when he probably was played here last night, he's like, can I get the Meek Mill Toronto yeah. security detail for me?
Yeah.
To Meek, keep that, no. that crazy singer effed up away?
You Toronto guys can't stop with Meek Mill.
Well, I got to say.
Meek Mills, you keep kicking him when he's – this guy's like going to like open up like a hardware store or something.
I got to say, I'm ready for Philly Boy Roy. To
defend Meek Mill.
Yeah, to come out and defend Meek Mill. I'm ready for his response.
So, you as a proud Canadian.
Yes.
You notice I'm not making this about Canada. I get so, whenever anybody's doing a thing and they're just like, well, I'm so, like, whenever an American is like, I'm somewhere else other than America, I'm going to talk about how weird this place is. It's like, it's not that weird.
No, but I think I know where you're going.
You got a few different candy bars and some different chips at the store. It's not that different.
But where you're going to go is, I think, being Canadian is germane. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but you're Drake.
Yes.
Is like, is he the king of Canada?
Definitely.
Right?
At this point, yeah. And I'm not even like necessarily a fan mm-hmm. of the music, like it's just mm-hmm. not like, and that's not like I'm not a fan,
yeah.
but I mean it's just not my, you know, I listen mm-hmm. to Weird 7 Inches and Cameron. That's really yeah. about it. And he, but he,
you know, like
as a Canadian, changed the game.
Yeah, his sad, cranky rap.
Yeah, but like,
right?
But
that's
Americans
what that is, right?
Love it,
no,
and that's the thing that made him so great to us, because like, Tom, name Canadian rappers pre Drake.
Snow.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Informer.
I can get another one out of here.
I think you can. Let your backbone slide. Din, 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 din,
okay.
Din, 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 din. You ran it. Din, 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 din.
Who is that?
Maestro Fresh West.
Okay.
Who actually did a record in America with 45 King doing the beat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. He did a bunch of actually stuff when he was in New York. I think he also did one with AG doing the B, or
okay,
AG Showbiz and AG, yeah, Showbiz and AG doing the B. No.
So up until Snow,
yeah,
Snow though with Informer,
yeah. Maestro Fresh West did well in America,
okay,
too. That did something, and then there was Carnal Official, who okay. had a song with
yes.
Who was it that he had? No, he had one with Clips,
okay,
or Pusha T at least, or someone mm-hmm. from Clips, I think. That charted in America.
Okay.
And then there was Chaos, who I think got positive reviews in like The Source and stuff, mm-hmm. but never really went anywhere.
So that's the basically the state of Canadian hip hop
prior to Drake. Yeah.
So then suddenly this guy now comes along.
Yeah.
And he becomes like Mr. Everything kind of guy, where he's like, he's not just like making the records, he's like a star. He's like a yeah. personality.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he's like at these Raptors games now, where he's just like saying like,
We North. What was the thing? We North?
We are the North.
We're the North?
Right? Yeah.
Even though it's not the most North team,
no.
Though, on the, if you're drawing a line across the North America, I think there's like, are there like three teams more North than Toronto?
I think it's because Toronto, you know, I think it's also we have to blame for that one, mm-hmm. Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I think I don't know, that's what I was kind of thinking. Do you think it's Game of Thrones? Maybe it is all Drake stuff.
Well, it's also just saying, like, we're different than America. Like, yeah. you still, even though you know us, you don't know us.
Yeah.
So he's just like, has there ever been a star, a Canadian star, who has played in America to that degree and is identified as a Canadian?
No, I think that's the thing. It's like there's never been an aspirationally cool Canadian star in America. Like, it's been like Celine Dion, Bryan Adams, you know, like they sold records, a lot of them, right? And maybe Feist people thought.
But they
was
were not
cool.
Not cool the way he's like he's like setting the pace for cool. Like people like he's the leader and people are following. It's not just like where he's like Bryan Adams is kind of just like fitting into a thing that started somewhere else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's definitely the person that, you know, and he is.
Does he still have a home in Toronto?
He's got probably a huge loft somewhere, or like penthouse. I remember the guy that hosted Rap City, T-Rex, who's still at Much Music, and still at that building, and he's super awesome. When Drake refused to take a picture with me, or not refused, but just acted super weird, and like he was having like a heart attack at the fact that people had asked at Much Music for us to get a photo together, and I was just like, if he doesn't want to do this photo, I don't care. But anyway, he was the guy who's like, yo, Drake, this is Damien, he's cool. And then he's like, okay, sure, man, and took the photo. And I think, I didn't make you sound that nerdy when I said that voice. I live in Toronto, I have to live in fear of the repercussions. So.
Yeah.
No, he was like, yeah, sure, I'll take the photo now. And so, but yeah, he's like one of Drake's like not new friends, obviously. And but anyway, he got hired at the same time, but he said that he brought Much Music to Drake's house to film something one time. And the producer was telling me that he had like this apartment where where the elevator would go up to the apartment and open in like the middle of the
floor.
And then like it was this insane sprawling like giant condo, and that was like 4 years ago, right? So now he's probably
it's only kept going.
Yeah, he's living a little higher on the hog even than that.
So he's the coolest dude. Well, he's not the coolest dude to ever come out of Canada.
No. No, would that be?
As far as the culture might be, because look, who is it? Who's the coolest? Who are the coolest people from Canada ever? Neil Young, right?
Yeah, but he moved to America
pretty early. Young. He ran really fast, actually. He started a band. He was 21, and he was in California.
Yeah.
So,
but I think like. The Viletones, obviously, you know, had some songs which are a little dubious lyric-wise. Steve Lecky had a pretty dubious nickname.
Okay.
But the story that Rollins tells in his book, where he just has his radio shows playlists, entertainment playlists, is that he would go and see the Bad Brains practice, and they would just jam Screaming Fist by the Viletones over and over again. And that this was like the song that was like a huge inspiration on them. So if you think about the fact that the Viletones influenced the Bad Brains, and the Bad Brains influenced
everybody.
Everyone, right? Yeah. Like there's no Beastie Boys without the Bad Brains.
Yeah.
And like it's like
there's no like and then Minor Threat without the Bad Brains.
Yeah, and
right?
then it's like and if the Beastie Boys didn't happen, pop culture today would be very different. Like a lot of things wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
You know.
So it comes back, well, look at comedy in Canada. Yeah. You draw all this up. I grew up, SCTV meant so much more to me than Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
It was when I was like 10 or whatever, and they were showing it on NBC. They would show it on a Friday night, or they would show it after Saturday Night Live. It was like that was the show I was interested in, and that was like this whole world of a thing that these guys built, and guys and ladies built. It was just like, and then when you find out they're all from Canada, you're just like,
And then who else is from it? You start finding out all these other people, Dan Aykroyd and then Mike Myers. And just like, that's crazy. And that who else?
Well, like even and Nathan For You.
Oh, my God. Well, that Nathan Fielder.
Nathan Fielder, who's I think the most recent kind of like, probably the most recent big comedic breakout export that's like amazing.
No, he's great. He's all like, he to me is just as funny as it gets.
And it's funny because I go back and watch his comedy stuff that he did in Canada, and it's funny.
Because he was on a show called
This Hour Has 22 Minutes.
This Half Hour Has 22 Minutes.
Oh, no, it's called This Hour Has 22 Minutes because it's a half hour show.
Oh,
right? Is that what it is? Yeah. And then he was on that, and he was on Canadian Idol. Oh, yeah. He's Sean Benjamin has a band when he goes to America, right?
Yeah, that was him. He was like the sound guy on that. Yeah.
I could hear H. Sean Benjamin read like a phone book, and I think it would be like the funniest, most soothing sound.
No, he's got the voice. Greatest voice. Yeah.
He's like the Velvet Fog. Is that what they used to call Mel Torme?
That is what they called Mel Torme.
He's like the new Velvet Fog.
I thought you would be the new Velvet Fog.
I told Smokey Robinson once that I sang just like him.
You did?
Yeah. I was in line. I went like, I was at South by Southwest.
You were at a Raptors game?
No.
You're at a Raptors game. You're both online for the men's room.
No.
And then Smokey Robinson.
I was at South by Southwest, and I had to do a bunch of press things, right, in the convention center. And I was waiting for an interview. And I'm like, Smokey Robinson was like there to do an autograph signing. And I'm like, well, my mom loves him. So I just got in line, bought a CD, and then I like waited in line to get him to sign it.
Yeah.
You know? And then I get up there and he signs it. And I'm like, you know, and I'm like, this is for my mom. And like he dedicates it. He's like, oh, thank you. I'm like, people tell me all the time when I sing that I sound just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, really? And I'm like, he's like, that's beautiful. And I'm like, thank you. And I'm like, see you later.
Wouldn't the greatest thing be is if like, he heard effed up. That's the thing where he would be like, a guy like that would be like, this is clearly like from a science fiction movie.
Yes.
Like, this is not, like, this is like some dystopian future where this is what music
Why
has become.
Would people listen to this?
Yeah. He'd be like, wait, I've been working all my life to just make these beautiful, smooth sounds. It's like, why would it be rough? There's smooth stuff available. Like, I've been working hard to make smooth stuff forever. Why would you choose this? Why do these kids want this? And it's crowded in here?
This is just noise.
He would think it would be like the song would end and then you would start talking about how you're going to like take over, like what like guerrilla action you were going to do, because clearly there's no way this exists unless it doesn't have some element of mind control or just like there's no way that this band could exist just as records in his mind. He would just be, you know, clearly these people are all either on some sort of hypnosis chemical that this is their cult leader and he's going to go give them their commands now.
One time we played this festival in England called Sonic Boom Festival or something in Birmingham, and we sounded like the Beatles on that festival compared to the other bands as far as tunefulness. There was a guy who his performance was contact mites on plates of glass and just rubbing his face together and break on his face. And then, like, another thing was Hajiki Haino, the noise guy, doing a live collaboration with Merzbow on stage. And it was just, like, obviously, you know what that sounds like.
Yeah, you know where that's going to
be. Yeah, and then there was, like, it was just, like, every band was just, like, you know.
What if those two guys came out and everybody's going to be like, here it goes. And they came out and they just sounded like Simon and Garfunkel. Those two guys come out and suddenly it's like, are you going? So it's like, wait, they can do that also? Oh my God.
It was amazing. Like he's sitting backstage, I know, and he's got his like cane and he's like, And the guy comes over and he's like, here's the Jaguar, Fetter Jaguar mm-hmm. you wanted from your, as per your gear rider. Mm-hmm. And he whispers to his interpreter. And the interpreter goes, he would like to know if he can take a drill and drill right through the neck. And they're like, no.
We rented you a Fender Jaguar, not for you to start dismantling it. Yeah, that guy, he might be the most, he might be the most threatening guy with a cane in rock, right? Him and Jerry Lee Lewis, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, maybe there should be like an all cane list. Who's got a cane in rock?
Who else has, who's a cane rocker? Cooper?
Cane rocker. Alice Cooper? Alice, yes, Cooper. That's a very... Yeah, those might be the top three cane rockers.
Well, and this one, I feel bad putting this one in the list because he legitimately needed one, and mm-hmm. he's gone now. But Ian Dury.
Ian Dury had a cane. Marky Smith, I think, uses a cane sometimes. Yeah. Like, I've seen him with a cane. So just like
one
cane rock.
Not the most pleasant. He might be the most threatening person with a cane, to be honest.
Him? Yeah. I would almost think with him it would be just like... He's scarier with the cane now than when he didn't need a cane and just could walk on two legs. Because now he can decide to hit you. He couldn't kick you that high before. Now he can just swing and hit you. He's like high sticking you.
We played a festival one time with him, and I got introduced to him, and I'm like, he's like this, like Damien from this band Effed Up. And he's like, mm-hmm. oh, Effed Up from Canada. La la la, and just wanders off, and I'm like, he knows who we are.
That is the greatest. He just went la la la, and drifted away.
And then they went to the communal dressing room, mm-hmm. kicked all the other bands out, and mm-hmm. he just locked himself and did a bunch of drugs.
Because he knew he clearly was just reading and just like crumpling up an issue of NME. Yeah. So, with Canada.
Yes.
Movies get filmed up here in Toronto.
Absolutely.
Class of 1984, filmed in Toronto.
A memorable movie featuring an incredibly important Canadian punk band, Teenage Head.
They were in it?
Yep. They perform in it. And I forget what songs they do. Gosh. But they perform it. They're the band in it.
When he walks into the venue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have, that movie has a young Michael J. Fox in it.
Another Canadian.
Another Canadian who mm-hmm. watches his friend fall to his death from the flagpole.
From Central Tech? Have you been to that high school?
No.
We got to take you there at some point. That's like
the class of 1984 high school. Does it still look the same?
Yeah, it's right by where it's that Sonic Boom.
Okay.
The old location was. It's like just around the corner.
And the camera, is there like a record shop? Every shot is down like the one street where you keep seeing like A&M Records.
Yeah.
And they would just shoot it one way, and then they're clearly shooting the same street and just turning it around the other way. That's like when the car flips over. So many of the scenes take place on this one, two-block stretch of what street is that? Is that
Yonge Street?
That's Yonge Street.
And what famous video by what New York seminal band, alternative rock band, is that featured in too, that street?
Yonge Street?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Driving Up and Down. Disappear by Sonic Youth. The Disappear video, they're dry. It's Thurston Moore wearing the wig, right?
Just up and down.
It's up and down Yonge Street. You can see you can see the Sam's wheels in that one, not the A&M record. They had already gone. But
now, do you know the first time Yonge Street?
The legendary Tom Sharpling.
Yeah. For me, it was SCTV when they did their parody of that I found out it was a parody of like a movie of like two like bumpkin type kids coming to the big city.
Yep.
What's that movie actually called?
Going Down the Road.
Okay.
Going Down the Road?
And did you grow up with... Does everybody know that movie?
It's kind of like... It's not... At this point, not really, because it's, you know,
aged out.
Yeah, it's kind of aged out, but it certainly, you know, for me, that SCTV sketch meant I had to see it eventually as an older person.
Where it was like, Gord,
big smoke.
Gord, we're going to Young Street. Oh, we're on Young Street. Oh, I got a girl pregnant. Like, and they were just walking on this one street, and you just see like a camera shop. And they're just like, and it had that song where it's like, oh, there's a rainbow in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
What is the, what is that?
It's meant to be like Gordon Lightfoot kind of, Gordon Lightfoot style.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little Stompin' Tom style too.
Okay.
Kind of Canadiana, like Canadian music.
Sure. Just that kind of.
Yeah. Like, I guess it would be Maritimes music. I'm
sure.
From the out east.
Sure.
Which is where those guys are from in Going Down the Road.
Yeah.
Newfoundland.
Okay.
Which
the,
is...
the new is Newfie a slur? Is that an actual slur at this point?
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry.
No. I think some self-identify a lot as like... it has become something like a badge of honor for some people.
Yeah, well, it doesn't... but I also... but the thing is, when words take on that thing where people reclaim it... it still doesn't mean I can go throw it around, too. There's a few words that you don't do that with.
Yeah. It's also Newfoundland's an incredible place in the history of music in Canada because that's where the first punk LP comes out. Or it's one of the early ones. It's a double LP by a band called The Dust Line.
Okay.
And it's incredible. And then there was the band called The Reactors also that has a great power pop single that came out of there really early on. And then there was a band called Schizoid that is just like totally, it's the best New York hardcore record in my mind, not from New York.
Okay. The best, okay.
Not, or New Jersey, because Mental Abuse's LP is pretty incredible from New Jersey.
Would you ever write a book, Damien?
I don't think I'm very good at writing.
But I think you are.
Oh, I appreciate that.
But you could, if you wrote, all you have to do is just talk.
Yeah.
Just write, or just, you could tell... you could just tell some stories and then do your version of the history of some of these things that, like, it's not – because you're clearly such a student of punk and hardcore and just kind of tracking these things.
I don't know. I've always loved how it's interconnected. I love the fact that, like, you know, there's Liverpool in the mid-'80s. There's shows where you have Robbie Brookside – doing the door, helping put on the shows, who's considered the greatest small room wrestler of all time, an incredible British wrestler who's now the head trainer at NXT, or one not a head trainer, sorry, one of the big trainers at NXT. And you also have Jeff Rowley, one of the most important skateboarders of all time. Like kids, every kid I know at some point pretty much owned a pair of Vans Rowley shoes.
Okay.
And then you also have Andy Capper, who's the person that discovered our band as far as putting us in magazines outside of punk magazines. And also is the guy that does all these crazy documentaries for Vice now, like the one on Chirac or Chicago and the Atlanta one that they did. And they're all at these shows in Liverpool, going to these punk shows.
But that, so you see that and the connections between things. It's like, why don't you just do a thing? It's like Damien's World, right? And just lift your head up, and you show all the connections to everything.
That'd be awesome.
Right? Because I've heard you talk from the stage about you when I saw you a couple months ago. You were talking about the New York, New Jersey punk wrestling connections, and you were breaking all of those down.
Yeah.
You could do, like, all sorts of, like, all the connections between things would be awesome.
Well, I think it's also, like, it's crazy because you look at the Best Show, and, like, you look at all the people that are kind of, like, brought together by the show, and you have, like, the punks connection, the music connection, and just, like, so many weird things connect only through the show. Like, Ben Gibbard and I don't have a lot in common other than this show, you know? Like, but that's not saying we, you know, I've been against, but like, we just don't, haven't met ever.
Yeah, you're not moving in the same circles one way, but.
Yeah, like, you know, and the same way, like, you know, a lot of these people, like Aziz, and might not have any connection to Aiden English other than this show, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's that, it's like, I find it cool that certain, the things that I love happen to always seem to meet up together somehow.
You know what I'm going to end up like? Mr. Holland's Opus. You ever see this movie, Mr. Holland's Opus? He made everybody's life richer, but he, dumb teacher, croaked on a teacher's salary. I'm heading toward Mr. Holland status, I'm realizing here. Oh, all the things that came through, the students who went on to all these amazing things. And then here's Mr. Holland trying to get by on 18 grand a year to school. His car's broken down. Yeah, I'm starting to feel like Mr. Holland, Damien.
I think the thing is, this is the year that I think every other fought person, I guess, you know, we can talk about, as you got fought, friend of Tom.
Friend of Tom, yes.
You know, Zach's got his card right there on the fridge.
Yeah.
You know, on the side.
Oh, there it is. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Actually, is it okay if I grab a drink,
Yeah.
Damien's getting a drink.
Can't drink of water.
I'm going to tell you all once again, the tour dates.
Yes.
Go to stereolaughs.com/tour and you check out the dates. Sharpling and Worcester live in Toronto, Boston, and Philadelphia. We will be closing out 2015 with shows in all of those places.
Do you want a glass of water?
I'm okay. I still have some of this 4-gallon Slurpee that you said was a good idea to drink at 10 at night.
Well, you know, that it wasn't like you were not going for something that was going to be not.
No, it was stupid. I was going to just say, like, I think I'm just going to have a big gulp instead. And you're just like, go for the Slurpee. I'm like, it's different. And Damien and Zach were saying, they said these Canadian Slurpees are different. And they are different. I don't know what's going on with the Canadian Slurpee, but it's different.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's like a lot more liquidy and less foamy.
Yeah.
It's
not as icy.
No. And I do love, you know, bad food for you in America. Like, I find it really good. But I think Slurpees is something that's definitely superior in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But back to what I was saying, I think this is the year that, you know, all of us that have been fans of The Best Show for a long time have felt validated because it's like the world at large just kind of picked up on it a lot more.
I guess a little bit. It feels like that, you know.
On TV.
We had a box set out and we did some stuff. Yeah. But
like, I can bring up The Best Show just about anywhere in, like, you know, obviously, you know, if I went to the Walmart and just started talking to random people,
then you're going to get tossed.
Yeah. But like in just about any like kind of circle where you'd expect people to be hip to like popular culture, and people know it.
You'll find someone. That's the whole thing, is that if I'm on the run, I know I can get by from coast to coast as long as I find whatever record store in America. Someone will give me shelter as I run from the law.
You're not going to be like Mr. Holland. You're going to be like
the fugitive. I'll be running with the copy of the box set through the woods. I'll be running. The police on my tail. I'll find the record store. I'll just bring the box set. See, this is me. I'm one half of this thing. I'll be like, okay, you can stay in our basement for 2 days, but then you got to get out of here.
Zach and my, really good friend, Kai, used to work at this HMV, and Corey Haim would come in and just chill and, like, try and return.
Another Canadian, right?
Yeah, another Canadian.
Sunglasses at night.
Yep. No, that's Corey
Hart.
Corey Haim was the two Coreys from Drive.
Corey, is your Corey Hart? He seems like he could be Canadian. No offense.
Yeah, I think he is. He's definitely Canadian, right? Too. Yeah, we've got a lot of Coreys here.
So the Corey Haim. The deceased.
Rest in peace.
And Corey, yeah.
But he used to come in and he would like try and return videos from Blockbuster and like, you know, try and get the full credit at this HMV store. And then one day he came in to apply for a job with a headshot and a list of movies that he was in.
Oh, no.
But he asked for the headshot back.
Okay. Oh, boy.
I know. It's a sad one.
That's a sad one. I saw this documentary, Best of Enemies, which is really good. It's about William F. Buckley and Gore Vidal.
No.
Did these debates on ABC and for the 1968 presidential election. They did 5 nights on ABC for each of the conventions for the two parties. Like, so they did 5 nights arguing during the Republican convention in 1968 and then 5 arguing during the Democratic convention on television, and
they really didn't like each other.
Yeah.
And then William F. Buckley, like, finally, like, Gore Vidal kept, like, he would prepare so much, and, like, he kept beating on William F. Buckley, and then he finally got him. He called him, like, a crypto-Nazi, and then William F. Buckley lost it, and he, like, called him, like, a queer on – this is on TV in 68. He said, like, I'll punch in your goddamn mouth or something. Like, I forget what the exact thing was. He lost it on TV then, and then – but they never, ever liked each other, ever. And when you said rest in peace, you know, I kept thinking of when William F. Buckley died, Gore Vidal wrote this thing, and I think he said rest in hell.
Whoa.
William F. Buckley, to William, like, the idea of, like, not letting it go when the person
is gone,
dies.
Be forever.
There's something strangely... I don't want to say admirable. It's not admirable, but it's also – there's something that's at least honest about.
Yeah.
It's like, look, just because their physical form quit doesn't mean that that was – it wasn't a bad spirit coming from that person. Like, like, it doesn't suddenly erase all the badness that this person perpetuated on a daily basis that made the world a worse place.
Yeah.
So there's – strangely conflicted about that one.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, there are bad people. There are people that do bad things and that want, you know, selfishly to hurt other people for their gain. And, you know, you, man, not to disrespect an American presidential candidate, but, like, you watch Trump in those rallies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's, like, some of the stuff you're saying, like, you really don't have a lot of good... running through the veins.
No. Well, he's never been told no his entire... He's like he's almost the example of, like, a kid in short pants, like a fancy lad, who all of a sudden at age 70, who no one ever said, no, you don't do that, no.
There's Elliot in Cabin Boy without becoming the Cabin Boy.
He is. That's exactly... He's like that. He... but there still is a part of me that wants, like... The part of me that... That craves, that would just love to see what the destruction of America would look like, would be curious to see what it would be like if he was president, because then it would be like, well, it's on, here we go. Like, it's really on in terms of, like, it's on, like, the idea of, like, ownership of property is up for question now. Like, everything has been, is being rewritten now. It's like, you watched all those movies and you watched all that stuff. It's like, here's what it's like in the real world.
Have you seen this, Wild in the Streets? The one with Max Frost as a president? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think he would make a better president than Trump.
Yeah. Like, no, look, I don't.
If you want to put anyone older than 15 in an internment camp.
Yes. I don't actually want him to be president.
It would. I
wish there was, like, a way that we could see what threads of time would look like. If we could just, like, watch alternate realities. There's an episode of Rick and Morty where they had different channels, where every different channel was a thing like that. And I was like, oh, I wish I could just watch what this would be like as a chant. Like, the news on that reality would be
one of those candidates in the Republican. Like, just like. What is it going to be like when we turn back the clock to what weird, twisted version of America you want?
Yeah. That would be I wish I could just see it, though. So Toronto movies, class of 1984. Police Academy.
Yep. Short Circuit, part two, maybe part one as well.
So when you see Police Academy and they're saying, everyone's rioting.
Yeah.
And then you, like, look, and it's just, like, the buildings just have that slightly different shape to them. To me, I love Rumble in the Bronx, which was shot in Vancouver.
Yes.
Where when you see these snow-capped mountains in the background
of
the Bronx. Yeah. You know when you're in the Bronx and you just see those that beautiful mountain range. So Police Academy 2. Short Circuit 2. Police Academy 1.
Short Circuit and Police Academy, it's the scene when they're doing the wave runners to the island, Toronto Island, and you can see the CN Tower in the background.
And that's...
That would be one. And I'm trying to think, some of the more recent ones definitely.
Pardon me?
Enemy, the Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, Enemy. Yeah, the Jake Gyllenhaal film was here too.
Okay.
All those David Cronenberg movies. A lot of them are at least were
sure.
Here.
Okay.
Definitely. I'm trying to think of other celebrities like you know, because celebrities will come here and they'll be in the stargazing section mm-hmm. of the Toronto Star, which, mm-hmm. by the way, I was in this weekend.
The stargaze. What the Toronto Star has yeah. its stargazing section.
Yeah, it was celebrities.
And you were in it because you were...
I don't know. I put a picture on my Instagram from when I was doing the podcast with Fred Armisen, and they mm-hmm. put it in the stargazing section. But, I my mom was like, you're in the stargazing section of the paper.
That's awesome.
Well, believe me, this is like a victory that... a hollow victory, but a victory mm-hmm. all the same. It's like, as the band's popularity declines, you make it in the stargazing section of the newspaper.
Yeah, but did they identify you as podcaster, Damien?
No, because I didn't really reference the podcast. Okay. I should have done that in the Instagram.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, how you do this. You're better at this than me, Tom. I'm just learning. I'm just learning.
You're the one with the Vice TV show.
Yeah, both. Like, you could have that too if you smoked more cannabis.
Why can't they give me my version of that?
What would be your version of it?
I don't know.
It'd be like... medicinal
pinball music. Playing pinball
medicinal pinball
just me playing pinball
that would be a good show.
I would do that.
You know what you should do? Comedians playing
pinball on flatbed trucks. We do it on flatbed trucks. Worst is playing ball just bouncing all over the place as the truck.
Are you saying that you can't see that show with GoPros put inside the pinball machine? And,
oh, I can see that happening, and I can
definitely see it happening.
You ever fly Virgin America, and then they have like the TVs on the thing, and they have this GoPro channel on it, and I feel like I want to vomit when I'm already on a plane, and they're just showing things shot just from the perspective of GoPros. It's like it's hard enough flying sometimes. I don't need to watch like snowboard videos.
I always take a medical cannabis brownie or two or mm-hmm. 10 before I get on a plane. Mm-hmm. And that would be an amazing channel to have. But we always fly Air Canada because we mm-hmm. get, we like.
Sure. Yes.
If you're in a band, one tip I will give to new bands starting out, mm-hmm. find an airline that you're going to try and travel with every time you have to go by plane and sign up for the loyalty program early.
Yes.
Because it does add up and you get those free flights eventually.
You just own it.
I went to New York for free this weekend. Well, taxes and stuff.
Oh, but you just pick an airline. That's great advice, Damien. You pick an airline. You pick a rental car company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I usually rent a car from Enterprise. Not the greatest company, admittedly. But which, it's not like, I'm not going to that awesome car rental company.
You're not going to the cool one. That's like, you're not going to the one that's run by the bass player from Fugazi.
Yes, exactly. I'm not going to Joe Lally's car rental place. So I'm in Los Angeles and I go to rent a car and they're like, Enterprise is like, we're all out of cars. I'm like, what do you mean you're all out of cars? You don't have anything? Like, no, we are entirely out. So now I'm just like, oh no.
Were you like Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
He would have done better than I did when I had to go to, and look, I'm not going to name this company, but let's just say there's a, when you talk about green U.S. money, who's on the face of the one? Is it Lincoln or Washington? Why am I blanking on that?
It's Washington.
It's Washington, yeah. The name of the company is Dollar.
I thought you were just messing with the Canadian trying to test me.
No, I was not. You would say it's Queen Elizabeth, of course.
We don't have $1 bills.
No, you live at loonies. Yes. But I thought you would take that as your one.
You're right.
As a loony.
You're right.
So, it's Dollar Rental. I go to this place, and I see the line is going outside the door to get, and I got this Enterprise, like, fancy schmancy, and it takes nothing to get it. You go online, you sign up, and then they send you a card in the mail, and then you get to cut the line. It's not anything fancy at all.
No.
You just go to the rewards thing. So I got this Dollar thing. I got no pull at this place. I'm online. You would have thought we were like
you would have thought that, like, the War of the Worlds was coming down the street and everybody needed to get a car to escape the city as it's collapsing. It just, I was there for an hour and a half trying to get this car out of the place. And then you finally do the deal, and then you're like, okay, you go outside to the lot. And I go out there, and there's just nobody there to tell you what to do. And I'm like, wait, what do I do? And I, like, look around, and then somebody just goes, yeah, you just take a car. Just go and take one. The keys are in him. Just take one. Like, just take a car. Like, this, who's running? So I just go to the – I rented a compact. I go – and there's just none in the line for compact. Just, there's, like, none left. I'm like – so I just get this in this car that was, like, the – it was, like, a – it was, like, a – pod almost on wheels. It was like the Star Wars pod that a C-3PO climbed into. It was like the size of that with a steering wheel and wheels, and drove that away. And they didn't care. Yeah, okay, bring it back on Sunday. Like, and I'm like, that's what you get when you got that loyalty thing. You skip that stuff. So yeah, pick an airline.
Yep. Pick your thing early, because you get those programs, and you're right. Like, if you can skip the line. One year we flew to Japan like three times or something in Australia, so we got gold status.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like a millionaire. You really do. You can skip every line.
No, imagine the businessman flying, and he goes up and he sees these six weirdos from effed up. And he's like, no, I'm supposed to be in the gold status here. I'm looking and I'm seeing this looks like the usual suspects are here. Looks like some prison release program is lined up here flying. Are you doing like some sort of exchange of prisoners from country to country? Because I'm a businessman and I'm here and
Con Air.
Yeah, exactly. This is Con Air. Apparently, like some, because these six people and me don't have that in common. But you know what? You did.
Yeah.
You did.
The best was, though, coming back from Japan, one by one, we all got bumped to first class except Mike. And we're all looking at him as we're all getting bumped up one by one on the way back from Japan. Where, let me tell you.
This is the order of who should get bumped up in effed up, top to bottom, just based on appearance.
Okay, yes.
Ben first, right?
Yeah.
He first.
He looks like a Bieber-esque boy band guy, yeah.
Then Sandy.
Yep. She was hardworking. She does all the bank books.
Jonah next?
Yeah, Jonah,
right?
Jonah. Next? Yeah, Jonah dresses very smart.
Then... because you're last.
Yeah, I would definitely.
And then Mike. So we're down to Mike and Josh. Then Josh, Mike, you.
Yeah.
But probably. What was that look on Mike's face when suddenly you're like, good luck with that. Like, I'm going to be having an ice cream sundae up here, sucker.
Not to bring it back to wrestling, but we were doing the Stone Cold Steve Austin flipping the bird on him.
Okay. As you just like, yeah.
As we're going into the sleeper pods.
Yeah.
To, like, go into our pleasure comas.
And he's in the middle seat.
Yeah, in the middle seat. Like,
yeah.
I have to... We were on tour that same year in Australia. We were doing the tour with, like, Tenacious D and the Foo Fighters. And, like, Jack Black at the end of the tour comes into the room. And he's, like, just talking to us. He's like, Damien, the crazy one. He's like, send it. Playing the bass guitar. Mm-hmm. Josh. Whittling away, Ben. Whittling away. And then he looks at Mike. He goes, are you in the band?
He's like, yeah, I write in the songs. Yeah, and I kind of write those. Like, you've heard the songs, right? Because I'm the one who, like, figures that part out.
He was, like, watching us, too. He must have just, like, looked right through Mike the entire time.
Well, there's a point where he just, like... like, I've talked to people, like, when they're new to the band, and they're just like, well, see, the thing is that the one guy does the songwriting there, and they're just like, yeah, but it's the guy, it's Ben, right? He does the thing. Well, so, no, he does songwriting for a bunch of other things. He got, not for this thing. It's like, which guy? The guy who's way in the back? It's like, yeah, that's the guy. He's
just
like,
guy.
he's so
modest about that part of it in the live thing. I think that throws people.
Yeah, he doesn't do the lead guitar stuff. Like, he doesn't do, like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does the lead guitar stuff, obviously, playing, but, I mean, he's not Angus Young. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Like, he's not like, okay, I'm going to wear this outfit. Well, he definitely wears ridiculous clothes on stage. He's like Angus Young in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's not Angus Young in the sense that he's not, you know, doing the duck walk.
Yeah, he's not.
Stage.
Yeah.
He used to, though, when we first started, mm-hmm. he would do things like walk on kids' heads in the crowd. And now, if he's wasted
mm-hmm.
and trying to impress someone in the crowd, he will do like crazy things on stage too.
But that's awesome. I like that it's a picking the moment kind of thing now. It's not just like, I guess I got to walk on these kids' heads now. He's not feeling it that night.
I'm going to do a head walk across
yeah.
the stage.
Yeah. You know the band with their famous head walking guitarist? So what's up with the band now? The band, you guys did the tour.
Yeah, we did the tour. We're doing Year of the Snake. We're playing Fun 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 Fest. Are you going to Fun Fun Fun?
No.
I want to get you. I want to see any festival bookers who listen to the best show. Let's see some Sharpling and Worcester festival dates.
Gauntlet that has been thrown down.
Choom!
Yes.
Because that would be fun. But we're playing Fun 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 Fest, and then we're playing Bows. Oktoberfest, this thing with Always, who are a great band from here too.
Okay.
In the Ottawa area.
Okay.
And I think that's it for a while. Maybe a Toronto show too, probably. But
mm-hmm.
then I've got a new baby coming.
Yeah. Got child number three.
Child number three.
Which is insane.
Let me tell you another piece of advice to all you young people out there that are active in the sexual department. It can happen. That's all I'm going to say. It can happen.
It can happen. Mm-hmm.
So, but we're very excited. Amazing. We're very, very excited. And that's coming very soon. And mm-hmm. yeah. That's...
And then is there going to be a record? When would that happen? When would the next?
I think we're going to start writing one, hopefully in this break at some mm-hmm. point, but not mm-hmm. not anytime soon.
Okay.
And just kind of, I think we're lucky. We're kind of at the point now where we don't have any obligations as far as a band.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can kind of, like, do it ourselves. We're going to start doing a 12-inch series really soon. Once again, maybe I should announce it. That's the, like, when you dropped the Canadian N-bomb earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Maybe I should have said that, but who cares?
Yeah.
We're doing a 12-inch series. We're going to do some, like, old sets on 12-inch.
Oh, wow.
And, like, some... We found, actually, when we were, like, little kids doing our first bands, all of us... did like different bands that were going to be on a compilation together. So Josh does vocals in this band called Youngblood,
mm-hmm.
where he like screams like the blood. He destroyed his vocal cords. His scream was so blood curdling,
like
just shredded him. Like because he was like 11 mm-hmm. at the time in this band. And then Mike's old band Walls Around Us were on it, and my old band Promise Kept were on it. So we're gonna put that out finally.
Wow. Oh, that's insane. That's yeah. awesome.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the worst record ever.
So there's going to be all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And that'll be enough to keep it. And also, you guys have like 8 million things to listen to in the meantime.
Yeah. And You're the Snake, too.
Yeah. So there's stuff
and
to listen to.
We got some other plans. We got definitely some big thing we're going to announce soon that we're really excited about. But we'll save that.
You did one already.
Yeah.
You tipped one too early tonight. That's enough.
But this one is pretty awesome. But we'll save it.
All right.
Just listen to The Best Show. Listen to Art of Wrestling with Cole Cabana, who's another fan of The Best Show.
Yeah.
You
think he would come on The Best Show?
I'd love that if he came on The Best Show.
I think Aiden English is going to call in the next.
Really?
We're going to figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get to some point where some wrestler just like, where I almost become like, it's like a meta version of a wrestling bad guy.
Yeah.
Because I'm the guy who puts down actual wrestling. Like, I'd be like the John Stossel of now, but in on it.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to see Hot Rock and Ronnie mm-hmm. as a manager, and I want to see Tom as a mm-hmm. manager, and I want to see them have wrestlers duke it out.
Has there ever been a character of a guy just being like, this wrestling stuff is like a guy like that in wrestling that gets knocked around by wrestlers?
Yeah.
Like what? Like, but not saying this stuff's fake.
No, but there's been like network people.
Sure.
From like.
Sure.
It's like one of the archetypes that they use is a network executive who doesn't necessarily like wrestling. It's like, oh, it's too violent, or
yeah, yeah.
Or it's, oh, this is, no one likes this stuff.
Sure.
Or like, you know,
yeah, it's
Cyrus, I think, was the one needs
the role of dad.
Yeah,
in the thing.
Yeah, and also because networks generally don't like the wrestling products at certain times too.
So. No, it cycles through, and it's just sometimes it's for places. It's just like, look, we're gonna get numbers with this, but it's not the right people. Like,
but you
that's
think
how
about
they feel
this year
about.
You have obviously not everything he did this year was positive, but Action Bronson referencing wrestling all the time. Mm-hmm. Mountain Goats putting out a concept record about pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And then you also have like all these other bands that are fans of wrestling, you know, kind of existing. Bob Mould.
Yeah.
WCW.
Huge. Yeah.
And it goes back to the Dictators, you know, on the cover of their first record.
Yeah. That was talked about this the White Castle and wrestling.
Yeah. White Castle and wrestling.
Which, funnily enough, you wouldn't want to wrestle someone who had just eaten White Castle. That might be. There's a lot of ways that could not be good.
Have you been to Superior Burger yet in New York?
No.
I think I think you might like it. They have a White Castle thing on the wall, but it's all vegetarian.
Okay.
And they it's run by Brooks from Born Against.
Oh, I heard about it. Yeah,
the
Best
Show
about
is produced in partnership with Sweeney the Forever Dog Podcast Network.
Okay.
The show
I'll
is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Wurster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne.
That's awesome.
The show is produced and written by Jason Gore,
Damien,
Pat
clock
Byrne,
on the wall.
Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Wurster, Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Rand. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Byrne, segment producer Michael Lisk.
We'll
the show is
phones.
Engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.